I would like tonight to read in the Gospel by John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. Put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now a few verses in the second book of Kings, chapter 5. Second Kings 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call in the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned, and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will bless his word to each soul gathered here tonight. We sang tonight in the opening hymn, On the golden street of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Now there's many people in the world tonight, multitudes, and they would like to be in heaven. Yet they have never found out the way that is God's way of salvation. If we were to ask some the way to heaven, they would tell us to join a church. They might say, well, at the end of life, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you'll make heaven. And those are wrong thoughts about salvation. And we have read of 3 men, and they also had wrong thoughts about God's great salvation. In John chapter 4, this nobleman thought the Lord Jesus was on earth. He thought the Lord Jesus must come to his house in order that his boy might be healed. He was at the point of death, and he thought, if Jesus came into my house, then he could make my boy heal him from his sickness. But those are wrong thoughts. We'll see that in a minute. We read in chapter 5 of John, and here's a man at the pool. He had this infirmity 38 years, and with a large company of people, he was sitting with them, and they were all waiting to be healed. He thought the only way he could get healed was that pool. But yet, thank God, he got healed without getting into the pool. You may have your thoughts tonight. You may have your opinions of God's way of salvation. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Kings chapter 5. God sent and told Naaman by the prophet a simple message. He was a leper. Leprosy speaks of sin. Leprosy is a deadly disease. And he was told the means of cleansing. But he had a better way than God's way. And many a person who would like to be saved, they want to be saved in their way. Well, friend, if you're ever going to get God's salvation, you must get saved in God's way. And in God's time. Now, we can tell you God's way, and we can tell you God's time. God's time, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's message to Naaman was very simple. Wash and be clean. But he went away in a rage. His waters, his way was better than God's way. Had he continued in his way, he would have died a leper. But by simple obedience and to act upon God's way of salvation, he was cleansed from his leprosy. Now we trust that tonight we'll just be like these men who stopped Naaman. And they said to him, if the prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? Men and women and boys and girls, they would do everything but what God asked them to do. God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Well, some try to believe, but then they try to feel. But salvation is not in the feeling. Salvation is when a sinner is linked to Christ by faith and the work he accomplished upon the cross to save their souls from hell and make them fit for God's heaven. There's a few simple lessons we learn from John chapter 4. It was a nobleman's son. He was a rich man. Now, sickness and afflictions, they come in to those that are rich, as well as those who are poor, or middle-class people, as we term them. It doesn't matter what our status is in life. Sickness comes into every family. Sickness came into this man's family. And he was greatly concerned about his boy. And so he heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to Capernaum. And he said, if you come down to my house, then my son will be healed. But the Lord Jesus said to him, except ye see signs and wonders. Is that not the same as today? Many want to see a sign. Many want to feel something, a wonder within them, to know that they're saved. That's the same as this man. He had wrong thoughts about salvation. And yet the salvation and deliverance of this boy was accomplished very simply. My friend, the same way that you can be saved in this meeting tonight. How was he healed? Not the way the man thought. But the Lord Jesus put his finger on the spot. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. People think, well, I believe, and I wait for a feeling. No, friend, that is unbelief. Whenever a person says they expect a feeling, or expect to see a wonder around them, that's unbelief. That's not salvation. But the man coaxed him. And he came back again. And he pleaded with the Lord Jesus. He said, come down, ere my child die. He was at the point of death. The Lord Jesus tested him. He said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Out of the blue, as it were, my son liveth. And the Lord Jesus didn't come. That man simply took him at his word. He believed the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what salvation is. God promises the believing sinner everlasting life. Are you a believing sinner in this meeting? Are you an unbeliever? There's only the two classes. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's no signs and no wonders attached. Whenever the soul rests on God's word for eternity, that's just what salvation is. Now we have met people. I remember a woman coming to meetings we had in Nineveh, Nova Scotia. And she sat when we mentioned the new birth. She heartily agreed with us. We had never seen this woman before. She came for a number of nights. We didn't know where she lived. But one day in our visitations we came across where she lived. Her name was Mrs. Wenzel. We went in. Well, we said, Mrs. Wenzel, we're glad to see you coming to the meetings. Oh, she says, I like to go. Well, and we said, do you seem to really enjoy the truth of the new birth? Oh, yes, she said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, Mrs. Wenzel, are you born again? Well, she says, it should be. Well, what do you mean you should be? Well, she said, I have been to the front, and I have been anointed with oil. But we said, when were you born again? Well, she said, isn't that born again? No, we said. How many times have you been to the front? She says, I have a path worn in the carpet. She had up and down so many times, hadn't got a clue about the new birth. Or God's salvation. In the darkness of her sin. Wrong thoughts about salvation. Another lady we met during that same meeting, series of meetings, Mrs. Falkenham, sat in her trailer one day. "Well, Mrs. Falkenham, are you saved?" "Yes," she says, "I'm saved." "Glad to hear it. How did you get saved? Or where did you get saved?" She says, "Sitting right there, reading my Bible." "That's good. That's where you'll get salvation, in the Word of God." "Well," we said, "Mrs. Falkenham, how did you get saved?" "Well," she says, "as I was reading, I felt a tingle." Friend, God's salvation's no tingle. God's salvation, when a sinner, in simplicity and trust, in the Word of God for eternity, in the person of God's Son, depending on Him alone, staking their soul for eternity, on blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that's what salvation is. Have you got it? Has there ever been a time in your life whenever you took God at His word, whenever you rested your all for eternity on the simplicity of the truth of God's book, that you might be saved? This man thought, the Lord Jesus comes to my house, He does something, my boy lives. That's not the way. He spoke the word. He spoke the audible word. You and I have the written word. Which is the most powerful? There's no more power in the spoken word than the written word. The power is equal. Friend, that word tonight points you to Christ, and you can be saved. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Where can you see Him taking away the sin of the world? My friend, look to Calvary by faith. I didn't see a man hanging on a cross. I didn't see a figure in my imagination. But I did see something. Listen carefully. What did I see? I saw the truth that when Christ died on Calvary, He died for my sins. In love to me, He endured the wrath divine that I might escape the punishment that I deserve. Hell and the lake of fire forever. The Lord Jesus, His own self, He bare my sins in His own body on the tree. That is, He was punished for all of my sins. Now, I didn't see Him. That would be a wonder. Nor a sign. I saw no signs or wonders, but simply embraced the truth of the book of God. Christ died for the ungodly. I am ungodly. Christ died for me. The man believed the word. He met his servants, and they said, "Your son's living. Your son liveth." He said, "When did he begin to amend?" Now that's natural. When a person is sick, we like to see them getting stronger day by day. They begin to amend. When the Lord Jesus spoke the word, this man didn't begin to amend. Right immediately, as that word was spoken, that boy was healed. That's the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, if you saw a sign in the surroundings, you may forget what it looked like. If you saw a wonder or felt something, you may have only had feeling once. That's not salvation. But whenever a sinner sees the truth, Christ died for me, that's what salvation is. We read in chapter 5 of John, here's a man 38 years, paralyzed, sitting at the pool. Blind people are there. The halt, a person that's halt can't walk straight. And we are living in a world tonight. Many are trying to walk straight, and have never been born again. That is, they're trying to please God by the things that they do. Well, the halt were here. Can't walk the straight line. A long leg and a short leg or to the one side. So they were there. And then the impotent, paralyzed people were there. And in all likelihood, this man was the worst case at this pool. And the multitude, they were all weary. Once a year, the water was troubled. The first person into the pool, doesn't matter whether he was blind, halt, or paralyzed, if they got in first, they were healed. That's the pool of Bethesda. So the Lord Jesus came to the pool. And likely he picked out the worst case. And he said to this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" "Well, you know, there's not much hope for me. I've been paralyzed for 38 years. When somebody gets me to put me in, when I'm coming, somebody else gets in before me. But here I am, I'm waiting to be healed." Multitudes in this world tonight, waiting to be saved. Most of these people at the pool, they would die waiting. Multitudes of souls land in hell, waiting to be saved. Are you waiting to be saved? Strive to enter in. When? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, Felix thought he could get saved. When he liked. Where he liked. And how he liked. Doesn't work that way. People that make up their minds, "I want salvation more than everything else." Now the Lord Jesus said to this man, who had not walked for 38 years, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." He didn't say, "I can't." He didn't say, "I would like to." You see, that's doubt. That's unbelief. He picked up his bed and he walked. He took the Savior at his word. Ah, the power of the word of God. John 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," the Lord Jesus speaking, "to you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life." I've heard his word. I believe God sent his son to die for my sins on the cross. I found that in God's book. Hath everlasting life. Why, I've got it. How'd you get it? God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Naaman. Wash in the Jordan, Naaman. "Oh, my waters are far better than Jordan." The Jordan was a muddy river. Likely his was clear. He didn't want washing in a muddy river. How could you get clean there? It was the word of God. And when he was willing to obey it and simply act on it, that's when he was cleansed. 7 times, perfect number. Down he went after being persuaded. 6 times down. No healing, no cleansing. I don't know whether he wondered, is it going to work or not? But he went down the 7th time. Come back up. Seemingly he had a spot. He thought the prophet would come out and put his hand over the spot. But whenever he came up, he was brand new. From head to toe. All new skin. Made new. Speaking to us of the new birth. Whenever God saves a sinner, they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. How did Naaman get cleansed? By simply acting on the word of God. How can you be saved tonight? By acting on what God says. What does he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Depend upon him. The sacrifice he offered at Calvary. The Bible says, "Thou shalt be saved." May you do it for his name's sake.